The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchady, Marco Marquez, and our special guest in studio, Gary Dieter, and the sausage, Anthony Sherman. What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good morning.
You know, this happened last Thursday later in the day, so we didn't get a chance. I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys about this. What was your reaction to Nate going in the locker room and basically tricking Willie Gay into saying something inflammatory about the Cincinnati Bengals offense, and then just, you know, lighting the fire and then standing back, oh, look at this.
Bush League.
Unbelievable.
Bush League, Nate. You know what you were doing. You set him up. You went on Twitter after the fact that it went viral and kind of tried to apologize and say you didn't mean it like that. You know what you were doing. You went in there with the purpose, and you came out with a viral clip. So
you're welcome, Kansas City.
You see that, sure, and that's how that the when a reporter goes in there looking to get something. That's why they call him Clickbait Nate.
Hey, why won't you turn
Anthony Sherman's microphone on? We have a what?
We have a broken microphone.
Wow.
No.
This is why a lot of the older veteran guys stay out of that media session, because they got guys like that come in that will ask you a question and they want you to give them one of those answers. Yeah. So what I used to love to do was walk around the question and never give them what they wanted, because I was always worried about that guy that wanted to go on Twitter and clickbait it.
You were a little too savvy for Nate.
Yeah.
But you know, some younger players that are you know, excited. And
here's the deal.
What? What's the deal?
You know damn well I'm going to have to be out there in the locker room asking questions again today.
Okay.
And you also know damn well that all I asked him was, what impresses you about the Bengals offense? That is not a baiting question.
And then you winked at him. Like, huh?
That is the softball of all. You two, as softball players, would have recognized that softball and smashed it over the fence. Well, they're a good offense. You know, we certainly have a lot of respect for them. We played them a couple times. You know, it's going to take a good effort from us to beat them, and we're ready
this
for the challenge.
This was the best part of the whole deal. We're standing there talking to Willie Gay, and I said, hey, what do you think about, you know, Burrowhead and all the stuff, the trash talk Cincinnati?
That's the bait right
there. What do you think about all this? Does this affect you at all? And he gives the perfect, hey, we just, Coach Reed says we do our talking on the field. We're just gonna play. I'm not gonna respond. He gives the perfect answer. Nate asks him, what impressed you most about the Cincinnati Bengals? Nothing. Nothing.
It's just that.
I ask a question, he goes right back to, oh, we're just doing our best and trying to. So
I was like, okay. Because I knew, well, this is going to blow up. And for the record, I didn't post anything.
Maybe it's who was asking the question.
So I'm saying. I feel like Nate just has an image in the locker room now. And don't be surprised if a couple basketballs come your way today.
Hey, man, luckily, I'm used to loose balls flying at me, so I'll be ready.
Mark the tape, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But literally, we went out to the parking lot, and we were like, I said to Steve, you know, I'm not going to post that. Somebody else can have get all the clicks.
I was like, don't worry, someone else will.
Oh, by the time I sat down in my car, it was already like back to Cincinnati and a million views of somebody else posted it. I got to wear that now?
You
Come
just
on.
Helped Willie say what he wanted to say.
And guess what? Hey, by the way, did it hurt the Chiefs? They went out and won the game.
Based on what I saw, he was kind of right.
Told that mayor to shut his damn mouth.
That's right. and so that's we move on from there. He will be back in the locker room today, and so
if you guys have any baiting questions you'd like me to ask, just let me
know
now.
Any former teammates you want to debate?
Good luck with that.
Willie Gay's in it. Where's that little son of a...
Right. Come here, Nate. Mm-hmm. So the Chiefs did win. They advanced to the Super Bowl. Garrick first, and then Anthony, considering Marco has broken Anthony Sherman's microphone. We have no idea what's going on here. But what did you what were your thoughts on the performance and the game on Sunday?
It was a tight one. I think that's what I think everybody kind of expected. I thought with all the things that happened with the Chiefs offense, receivers going out left and right, obviously guys had to step up. MVS was huge.
I was looking for you out there by the time the end of the game. I almost
started driving over there, right. Keep the pads back on. But Kemp stepped up. When you get to that depth in the receiver room, you have to know what you're doing, and that's why Kemp was in the game. In my opinion, was because he knows the whole offense. Coach Reed can trust him to at least be in the right spot, and that's what you need in a guy that's coming off the bench in that type of a game. You want him just to kind of be that, if Pat needs somebody to throw it to, that he's going to be in the right spot at least. So it was good to see Kemp in the game. And like I said, when you get that low on the depth chart, receiver-wise, man, it's something that never happened when I was playing, but it feels like it's happened a few times this year, and guys just had to step up, and it feel like it's randomly been somebody new every single week. And MVS was huge, obviously, in that game, and Pat obviously showed a lot of grit to make that work.
Okay, now, Marco has expressed confidence that this microphone works. Sherm looks at him. Marco's, I got it, so let's see.
Marco,
boom!
There we go. Here we go.
Shout out to the Drake.
There we
Unbelievable.
Go.
Unbelievable.
What did you teach you to push the red button or what?
Wow.
He had me on
this
mute.
This is why.
Probably.
That's why people answer him that way. The condescending tone. Go ahead,
when
Cheryl,
the
I'm
intern's
sorry.
Here.
No,
too.
You're good. You know, I think it was Chris Jones, like we talked about last week. He came out and had himself a day. He showed why he should be Defensive Player of the Year. And against a battered O-line, he dominated and took control of the game. And it was awesome to see. The defense played great. Those rookies stepped up in the back end and really locked those receivers down and got the win. And that's what we wanted to see.
All right, let me get this out of the way because it's pissing everyone off, at least with Kansas City. You've got people, national reporters and NFL people, of course, the Bengals fans are bitching about it. I don't know how you could have a gripe with the officials throwing the flag on that late hit on Mahomes out of bounds. It's like, you know, keep your hands off the quarterback, especially if he's got 2 feet out of bounds and they're showing still shots. He began to throw the forearm shiver right before he said, whatever. There's no controversy there. That's a penalty,
yeah,
right?
I think I feel like, especially it being Pat, being a quarterback,
gets all choked up when Pat gets hit.
Well,
like,
I'm with him on that.
Being a quarterback on the sideline, and that's like that 2-for-1. You definitely cannot do that. If it's a normal running back or receiver, you might get away with a hit like that. But being Pat in that situation, there's no chance that you don't get a flag. So rough on him. Obviously, he had a lot of, I feel like, mixed emotions with teammates going back to the locker room. I saw, but. I saw a couple of clips of teammates sticking by him in that situation, which is it's good to see because obviously it's not like he did that on purpose. He was just trying to get him out of bounds to stop the clock and make a play. So feel bad for him, but obviously it works in the Chiefs' favor.
I mean, as a fan, these Bengals fans, the sports media world, whatever it is, they've got to figure out a reason why the Chiefs are just better on that day than the Bengals, because everyone picked the Bengals. So they want to make it seem like, oh, we actually know what we're talking about when we pick these games, but they really have no idea. They're just going off a gut and saying, okay, this is who we think is going to win, and if we're right, we look awesome. If we're wrong, we're going to try to figure out a way to say that it wasn't our fault to get the game wrong.
And so, like, there are so many stories of redemption within the actual game, and one of the most interesting ones was Sky Moore. Because it got to the point where, I mean, hell, I said it too, nobody really wanted to see Sky Moore back returning punts this season. And then there he is with under a minute left, and there was a lot of conversation going on in the press box, like, oh boy, can you believe this is what it's come down to? Here he is in this big spot, 29-yard punt return that set the Chiefs up. And so I interview him after the game, and he was really open and honest. It was really good. He said that, you know, there were times this year he didn't want to be back there. He didn't want to be back there, and he lost his confidence. And then finally got to the point where he said, "If the coaches believe in me, why don't I believe in myself?" And he felt like he was able to get over that mental hurdle. But that's a lot for a rookie to have to deal with within one season to be able to overcome that. But to hear him say, yeah, I didn't want to be back there. I didn't want to do it anymore, but then they believed in me, and I know what I can do with the football in my hands. But he said, but I just got to catch it. And I couldn't, I mean, now I just got to catch it. And so you guys have both played special teams. You understand that aspect of the game. But what about just him saying that and saying that this season he didn't want to be back there. He didn't think he could do it. And then it ends up he has one of the biggest plays of the game late in the fourth quarter with a 29-yard punt return. That was awesome.
Sometimes you don't get the choice. I mean, it's like that game. He's the last one they had to go back there and catch punts. And it didn't seem like that punter was hitting the best balls all day. And that one was a little flatter, which those ones are a lot easier to catch when it's when you say you have Tommy on the other end kicking a ball mile in the sky. That one's a lot tougher as a returner. You're thinking a lot more. You feel that pressure. But when he punts it like he did and there's nobody within 20 yards, you get a lot of confidence to catch that ball. And once you catch it, like he said, once he gets the ball in his hands, that's not the problem. It's just catching it. And so hear him be honest about that. It's always good to hear. And the coaches, obviously, Tobe, you have to have confidence in your guys. And I'm sure Tobe's worked him. I'm sure he's caught 1,000 balls since the last one he dropped. So it's just coach's trust. That's a major thing going in playoffs.
And that's a reason why this coaching staff is so good. Because as a player, they never make you feel like they lose confidence in you. So as a player, like he said, not having confidence in himself, but then looking in the mirror and saying, you know, if these coaches that have won a Super Bowl, have had great returners or whatever it is, have confidence in me to make a play, let's prove them right. You don't want to let the coaches down, especially Coach Reed. I know everyone talks about he's like a dad, and you don't want to disappoint him. That's the biggest thing. So for him to go back there and then make that play like he did was awesome. I was excited for him to redeem himself and hopefully these Chiefs fans that were all over him at the beginning of the year really understand the value of, yeah, it might not look pretty. We might get sick and tired of it. It might be a reason why they lose a game here and there. But like at the end, these people are human. These players are human. They're gonna read that stuff and really lose confidence in themselves. So for him to go out there and make good on his deal, and it was awesome.
It was cool too because you know all the reporters were standing outside the locker room waiting for the locker room to open, and Tobe comes walking up the tunnel, and he didn't say it in a condescending way or I told you so way. He like ran over to the media. He goes, "How about Sky Moore?" Just excited about it. That had to be for him. A big just win for him because he stuck with him and he'd, you know, what the hell's wrong with Dave Tobe? Special teams is killing us. And in that game, what happened? Sky Moore with the punt return and then Harrison Butker. That has been no sure thing all year long. And the special teams unit comes through at the end for the win.
It's always come down to special teams, it feels like. I remember the AFC Championship when, I think 2019, when we lost the Patriots. They had a huge kick return. I think that was the start of overtime. When Cordell Patterson like switched fields, you know what I'm talking about?
I just remember
riding the pine.
I just remember when Edelman touched that ball, and they said he didn't touch it.
And who recovered it?
Yours truly.
Wow.
Did he touch it?
I said he did. I mean, I did a Instagram post the other day because I just saw some random pictures on it. I mean, I don't know how he didn't touch it.
Right.
That's he touched it, but again, I mean, if we go back and look at Twitter and everything else, there's probably a bunch of people, Chiefs fans included, that are complaining about the refs in that situation, not making that right call and fixing it. You know what I mean? So it happens with every fan base. It gets annoying when it starts getting on the TV when they start talking about it because you're like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
You've been here. You've been through it enough where you know that, again, the refs are human and they're going to make the call at the best that they can and that one was pretty easy to make as a ref.
So to go back to like you guys were talking about the confidence that the coaches continue to show in you, I thought it was interesting when Stephen was doing the interview with Sky Moore. He said he pointed. Mecole Hardman was sitting right next to him. He said, "This guy right here helped me keep a lot of confidence. He kept telling me I was going to make a play." I was thinking back to the AFC Championship game during that pandemic year when the stadium wasn't as full against the Bills. And he muffed that punt early in the game, And there's that famous clip of Kelce and Mahomes going over to him because he looked like he wanted to just crawl into a hole. He threw his coat up over his head, and like Mahomes and Kelce went over to him and said, "Hey man, pick your head up. You know you're going to make a play." And then he scored a touchdown on like the next drive. Mm-hmm. It just seems like they've established a culture there because I thought that was really appropriate. And I realize this is a little different because it came after a loss, but that teammate for the Bengals just cussing his boy out like on his way into the locker room for the late hit. And I thought, man, it doesn't seem like that's the culture they have in Kansas City. It seems like these guys pick each other up when they make mistakes and they're the better for it.
No, and I mean, that's what makes Coach Reed and Veach and getting those guys in that locker room that are not like that, that don't have that in them. And again, this is why there's success here for as long as it's been, is because of the locker room and guys policing themselves and keeping the morale up, even in a losing streak or whatever it is, and going to work every day. And like I said earlier, I know Gary agrees with this, is I don't think there was a guy in my time in Kansas City that I did not like or did not enjoy being around in the locker room, going to war every day. You know, one of those things where it's a testament to those guys and what they brought in as leaders in the locker room and on the team.
Agreed. What about Fish?
I love Fish. Okay, Big Fish. Hope you're listening, Big Fish. I know you're in Kansas City.
Just check in.
Gary, did you like everyone? Be honest.
Yeah, I did. I had a couple of like DBs that I didn't like during training camp because they would hold almost every play. But
who was that? Who was holding every play?
I don't want to throw names out there, but
he's not on the team anymore. Just put it that way.
I mean, not because of that, but
no, not because of that. He was traded this year. We're not going to give names, but we'll give you exact.
Well,
we got
that one done.
Yeah. Figured that out.
They're like Sherm said. That's what Coach Reed is so good at, is those culture guys. You bring people in that you want to be around, and I think that's why. I'm sitting here today with Sherm and all my friends that are still on the team, is everybody seems to like each other. You get together outside of the facility, and that's really when relationships are being built. And I feel like other teams just don't have that. And that's something that's super important when it comes down to trusting guys, because if you're with guys outside of the facility, you see who they are as a person, you see if you're like them. And kind of feels like you grew up with them, and that's kind of important when it comes down to football, because if they make a mistake, you're not scared to go back to them. And I think you see that a lot with Chiefs guys.
So you mentioned the wide receivers that were in at the end of the game, MVS, Sky Moore, and Marcus Kemp. MVS ends up having the big game, 6 catches, 116 yards, and the touchdown. He was the big free agent acquisition. Didn't put up great numbers, but man, I mean, that was worth the contract right there, what he did on Sunday. And I remember when Andy Reid was asked about him after they signed him, and because he was just known as a guy that stretches the field and is a deep threat. And he said, "Well, I think there's a little bit more to him than that." And so he really didn't have to do much more than that this year, but then you saw him do more and show a more complete game as a wide receiver. What did you think of his performance on Sunday? Because without him, maybe they don't win that game.
Yeah, agreed. When it comes down to it, you need guys that make plays in big games, and he stepped up this game. Obviously, he needed to because of the lack of depth and all the injuries that happened. But yeah, like you said, he showed a lot. He showed a lot of things that make receivers great, and it was good to see. Hopefully, that momentum carries on in the Super Bowl. It seems like he's kind of the only one that's actually healthy, so I think Pat's going to rely on him to make a lot of plays against a really, really good Eagle secondary.
So you guys can tell us more about this, because I thought it was interesting listening to both Mahomes and Kelce talk about Rick Burkholder and his training staff and what they went through, or at least what Travis went through. He talked about for 72 straight hours. He got treatment from the staff and then his guy that he uses on his own, and he woke up Sunday and still wasn't sure if he was going to play, but he got through it. And then Mahomes described, you know, how he wasn't home very much. He had to go through all the training with the training staff and all through all the rehab and everything else. I mean, that was he even talked about on the podcast. Kelce was there. That was, he didn't know Sunday morning when he woke up whether or not he was going to be able to perform at a high level.
Yeah, I feel like when you get an injury in the NFL, and especially with the Chiefs, you kind of get paired up with a certain trainer. Pat's always been Julie. I think Trav's always been David Glover. I was always David Glover. You never really had injuries.
No, but when I was ever in there, it was Evan Kraft.
Yeah, Evan Kraft. So I feel like you kind of get paired up with somebody that's under Rick, and, I mean, those, they work their butts off. I mean, they're up there. It seems like, man, I feel like I never was up there ever that Julie, Glove, Evan, that were not there working on people that were hurt. So credit to them. They deserve everything. Especially when it's the guy like Pat or Kelsey, they're going to be up there 24 hours a day if they needed it. So it was good to see they got the recognition after the game, and it seems like it's kind of blown up a little bit.
But this guy is a rock. He didn't need it, is what you're saying. He never needed that.
No, I mean, just little nagging things here and there. But no, whenever I was in there, Evan Kraft took care of me. You know, Rick's got a great staff of guy, people that he can trust, guys, girls. Tiff is awesome. Like, there's a group of people that have stayed in the Chiefs organization, in the training room, that have made that training room what it is. And those individuals deserve all the credit, because those are the ones that are working extremely hard day in and day out to get those guys back on the field.
Sherm gave me – I feel like it was my rookie year. I had like a foot injury or something. I didn't miss any like practice or anything, but I was in the training room. And I feel like Sherm, we would always kind of walk through the training room to go upstairs to eat in the morning. And I was in there doing treatment, and Sherm walked through, and he gave me a hard time about being in the training room. So after that, I kind of just toughened through everything and tried to stay out of there.
You can't be known to be in the training room too much, or, you know, there's somebody that's not going to be that takes your spot.
Marty Schottenheimer used to say, you can't make the club in the tub.
Very true. I was just worried for Gehrig. I just was trying to look out for him as an older guy, and bringing him along. Like
toughen up, man. Come on.
I would say, though, that kind of, it depends on who you are, because there are some guys that are literally in the training room 24/7.
They can make the club from the tub.
They're going to be on the team.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's certain individuals that are just better athletes than others. So
sometimes.
But you were looking out for him and say, hey, man, get off the trainer's tables. Get out there, man.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, I was rub always, a little dirt on it.
I was always out there.
No, you were always out there, but you were banged up a little bit from time to time. Mm-hmm. Always worried about you.
Toughened through it.
You got banged up a lot? Is he over-exaggerating, or were you in there a lot?
I wasn't in there a lot, but, like, I would always – like, I never – I feel like the only time I missed practice was my back, and then I was super sick 1 year. But other than that, I feel like I had, like, a broken foot, still practiced.
You power through it.
Broken shoulder, still practiced.
Yeah, I dislocated my – clavicle and didn't miss a practice or a game, so finished the game.
He said he had a broken foot and a broken shoulder. You know that?
I mean, maybe the foot. I'll give him that one. I don't know about the shoulder.
He said a broken shoulder.
The one, I don't know how I came back after my back, because, man.
No, that back was bad.
I couldn't even, like, when I got back, I still couldn't, like, touch my toes.
So you could empathize with Kelsey what he was going through. He said he was all locked up.
Yeah, his wasn't as bad as mine, but.
Yeah.
No, honestly, there's certain injuries that yeah, they stink, and you can get through them, but that back is no joke. I mean,
you can't do nothing.
There's a lot that just you don't realize you get to do when you have a healthy back.
You can't even laugh. You can't even have fun.
Yeah, you can't even poop. Be honest with you, that hurts too. That's just normal. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll play a clip from the Kelsey's podcast, him talking about the treatment he got, and there's a little funny exchange there at the end. You guys to listen to. But we'll take a break right now, back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the show. We'll change directions here in a minute. I want to play this clip from the Kelsey's podcast, but we need to clear this up. Did Gary Dieter have a broken shoulder or not that he played through?
I don't know if it was a broken shoulder.
Have you ever seen my shoulder? That thing sticks out like 4 inches.
Yeah, but that's just an AC joint. That's not a broken shoulder.
Feels broken.
It feels broken. It wasn't diagnosed as broken, but it felt broken.
I stay out of the training room, so it might have been broken. You just never know.
You played through it.
Played through it.
Okay. Here's the Kelsey's on their podcast yesterday talking about the treatment that Travis Kelsey went through leading up to the game on Sunday.
You were questionable. You want to talk about that? What was going on?
I'll tell you what, that sucked, man. Mentally.
When did that happen? Because it happened late in the week.
Happened the second to last play of practice on Friday.
On Friday,
and,
that's late.
Yeah, I think just a little bit of fatigue got to me in throughout the week into that practice. And I was feeling good going into that like last period too. Everything felt great, and then I just moved the wrong way at the wrong, I guess, angle, and my back just locked up and fired up, man. And I was lucky that we got some of the best trainers in the world in Kansas City, and one of my guys, Alex Gase, my personal PT, to help me loosen everything up.
Jersey native,
man. Keep the ties close, baby. Yeah. Keep it in the family. But yeah, it was unbelievable how much time I spent on my stomach just getting my back worked on and getting needles thrown into me and getting, you know, just anything that could possibly help for Friday night, Saturday, the entire day, and then Sunday before the game. I mean, it was a 72-hour just focus on trying to get this thing loosened up. It was a game time decision. I woke up the morning of the game like, man, this thing is still tight. I can't fully straighten my back. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to put, like, I haven't ran yet. I haven't done like a squat or anything. I've been trying to just relax and let my body just heal. And it was a scary thought, man. For me, mentally, I was in a whole different place. I was trying not to just let it ruin my days, but that wasn't fun, man. And I was thankful that we have the trainers that we have: David Glover, Julie, Tiff, Evan Kraft, all my favorite people. Rick Burkholder, obviously the head trainer of the NFL PA, or not the athletic training PA, that I believe. I hope I'm saying that right, Rick. But I love you guys. You guys have made my career, helped make my career what it is already, and definitely got me ready for this weekend. So,
well, in the words of Pat McAfee, did you get any vitamin T before the game to help you get over this back pain?
Vitamin T? What's vitamin? Oh, vitamin T.
You know what it is.
I was all jacked up on Mountain Dew, man.
You didn't do any vitamin T?
I had a whole bunch of.
You didn't get any vitamin T? I always take vitamin T. It's the best vitamin there is on game day. So
don't leave home with that.
So Travis not willing to admit whether or not he got the vitamin T. As Jason Kelce, he says, it's he enjoys it every game day. So
yeah, you get some vitamin T in your system. You can do a lot of things. I remember I got an injection in my back at the hospital, and I couldn't stand up after it, and they gave me some vitamin T. And I mean, I went back to it was during training camp. They drove me back 40 minutes to St. Joe. I got on a treadmill. I was doing sprints, everything. I was like, I feel good. I'm ready to practice. The next day, I couldn't even stand up. So that vitamin T is something serious. And shout out trainer Al, Kelce's guy. He's an awesome guy. I met him a few times. He, if anything is wrong with Kelce, he's always there helping him out.
You know what else could have helped your back? This Bull Creek Distillery Barrel 42 Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Yeah, that
thank you
help.
Very much for this, Anthony.
Yeah, no
Sherman.
Problem. I feel like we're friends now, so I had to bring you guys gifts.
We are friends, and this is going to be enjoyed on Super Bowl Sunday, I believe, because I'm going to a party at my friend's house, and this is what I'm bringing.
Yeah, you can get that at the out there at the liquor stores for anyone listening, and you can also go out to Bull Creek Distillery and grab it on the shelves.
Distilled in Indiana.
It is, yes.
Huh.
So we don't know if we have enough time to go through the whole process, but the smaller distillers will get the bourbon already in the barrels from bigger distilleries, and then you go and put your blend and water content and everything else on that bourbon, and it then becomes your own.
How about next Thursday we have Nate drink a bottle between 6 and 8 a.m.
bottle?
Before you guys get here.
A whole bottle?
Or at least
bottle.
Half a bottle, something,
yes,
whatever.
Nate, I mean, I feel like he needs some help with that. I can come in and
let's
help
do
you
it.
Do that.
Let's do that on the air.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to drink a bottle of it, but I'd happily sip some of this.
Gary Dieter, do you have a safe?
Yeah, so I have a safe. I keep my Super Bowl ring in, and I was trying to go, I guess, take a look at it one day, and I'm trying to enter in my code, and nothing's working. Like, the battery's died or something.
So you just want to look at your own Super Bowl ring one day because you hadn't, you know.
Will you guys bring us in your Super Bowl rings next week? Show them off?
If you remind me, I'll bring mine in.
Yeah, Marco, remind us, okay?
So I'm going to enter in my thing, and nothing's working. I'm like, man, like the battery's on the inside. Like, how do I can't? I moved houses, so I lost like the emergency key in the move.
Oh no!
So I'm like, I called my buddy Sherm. I'm like, do you have any? Are you an expert in safes? Like, we gotta break into my safe. Like,
safe cracker.
I got a couple things in there I need, and Sherm was like, yeah, we can do it. So I take my safe over there the other night, and Sherm gets a. I'll let you tell the
Did
rest
you
of the story.
A stethoscope and everything.
Sticking dynamite. Through.
No, I don't do it that way. I Americanized the safe breaking in, and I've got a Milwaukee, America's best hacksaw with metal cuttings tips and wood cutting tips, and we put it on the ground, and the thing went through like butter, and we pried it open, and it opened like a banana. So
sounds like you need a new safe, huh?
He needs a new safe.
I'm gonna go to Shields and probably grab a new safe here soon. But it was a funny thing. Sherm, I mean, like the actual saw, what do you call that? Is it like the saw piece?
Yeah,
the saw piece was probably like 5 inches. And I'm like, Sherm, like, you don't go like that deep. Like, you're going to cut something that I needed.
Right.
Cut right through that Super Bowl ring.
Was it just the ring, or do you have other, like, documents? And
no, I had a couple things in there I don't want to say on air. But,
right.
I mean, Sherm is going. The thing was way too, like, I'm like, come on, Sherm. Like, you're about to cut something in
half. Listen,
if
you ask
going,
someone to get through a safe, he's going to get through the safe, and it's not my problem.
You
what's
got
inside
in the safe.
I got into the
can't
safe
be responsible
in under 5 minutes.
Wow.
So if you need to get into a safe, call
I do.
Me, guys.
Okay, I will tell you this. My dad would like to speak to you after the show. He has a proposition for you.
Okay.
Yes. I do have a 60-40 split is what
I have
saying,
a scratch on my Super Bowl ring case, though. Like
because
could,
of that?
You could see like the...
Yeah, it's the case, dude.
Well, that's a good memory, though.
It's kind
then
of a cool
remember.
Story, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a cigar from the Super Bowl in there.
In the safe as well?
Yeah, from when we won it. They were...
Like smoked cigar.
No, I didn't touch it.
Is there a humidifier? You got
No, it's not going to be touched. He's not going to smoke it. He just wants
like,
the memory.
When we won in Miami, I think going into the party, they had like people they had a station rolling cigars right outside the party room. So I just got one and
yeah, I
just
chewed
kept
on that thing all night.
I smuggled a giant piece of the turf from Hard Rock Stadium. I was on the field afterwards, and there was just like some of the grass had been torn. I mean, I got a really big chunk of it, and then I stashed it in my luggage. And then going through to get on the plane, they thought it was something else, and so they made me take everything out of my bags. And people were making fun of me, but I still got it. I mean, I got it through there. I got it out of there.
I mean, how big are we talking?
So what did you do?
About the size of my sternum or my bait right here.
Where is it sitting right now? That turf.
I had it preserved. I took it to a professional, and they took care of it, so it's preserved. It's in a plastic tub. I've gotten that,
that's
and
cool.
Then I've got three or four of the chunks of it. I don't know.
Did you get confetti?
I did.
Nice.
To get it out of the stadium, I put all of the confetti and the turf in my pants. So just stuffed it down there.
Is that way if security says, hey, is that a big
right.
Piece of sod
now
in your
I'm just
pants?
Happy the
say,
Chiefs
hey,
just
yeah.
Won, okay?
None of your business.
All right. So now... The Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. We have the and I'll be out there later on at the press conferences, and Nate will be stirring up trouble in the locker room. And so what's this week like before you guys head to the site, before you leave for the Super Bowl? Clearly, you're recovering from a very physical game against Cincinnati, but take me back to what the week is like the first week before you actually head to the site of the Super Bowl and you've just won the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, so usually get a couple more days off the beginning of the week to let your body recover, maybe get in a couple good workouts.
Maybe go to the wheel and eat some pizza and drink a few beers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can do that too. Whatever you want to do, it's your time.
Yeah.
You know, you have it. So you have a couple more days off. You'll get in middle to end of the week and get in the base game plan that you're going to run against the team that you're playing. And then, I think if I remember correctly, we got the whole game plan in before we went down to Miami and didn't have to install a thing. It was just practice, meetings, because there's so many different circus events going on that you have to go to and dinners or meetings and press and everything else. So you get in there, you go to quick brush-up meetings, watch the practice. You go practice hard. You do the exact same practice you had in Kansas City, and then You're ready to go for Sunday.
So, but everything's installed before you guys leave.
That's how it was when we played a couple years ago. Everything, our whole game plan was installed before we left Kansas City, and all we had to do was to brush up quick. No install meetings in Miami, and it was get up, have breakfast, work out, or practice, work out, and go back and have some, you know, after practice meetings, and then the night was yours.
Were you able to enjoy all the festivities and everything leading up to the Super Bowl that week, or is it more of a burden and you're just like, man, get me to the game. I've had enough of this stuff.
I mean, you want to take it all in because as much as how blessed we have been as Kansas City fans and playing and experience it, you know, multiple years, you don't know when the next time you'll be back. Like, it could be a run here that you don't get another Super Bowl or another chance to a Super Bowl for a long time. So I know I had a ex-Patriot player, Logan Mankins, text me and was like, hey, enjoy every moment you have down there and just take it all in because you don't know when you'll be back. So I did that, and I think Garrick and I hung out a ton down in Miami, and we watched I started Garrick's gambling problem.
Oh.
Down in Miami when we started betting on, was it Top Dog?
Yeah.
Was going to win the competition.
Yeah, it was like a spinoff of Live PD. It was like the police dogs doing like the obstacle courses. We would bet like
a couple dollars
on each dog to see who won. But no, like you said, that this week is busy kind of doing all the logistics of figuring out who's going to the game. You have to figure out all their flights, their ticket situation. So that's the I feel like the biggest part of this week is trying to figure out family plans. And then once you get into next week, it's all football. And like Sherm said, that, I feel like when you get down to Super Bowl and you're there the whole week, that's a lot of the time you get to spend with the boys and you're just hanging out and having a good time. And I feel like that's what I remember most was that week. I mean, every single night we would all go to dinner together and just hang out for a few hours. And I remember watching, yeah, that's why I told you guys last week, we were throwing the almonds and cups. We were watching Live PD every night. I remember playing Chris Jones and Madden for some money with Tyreek. And Chris is like, I mean, he's such a big guy that you're somewhat intimidated by him, like sitting there playing Madden with him. And when there's money on the line, like there's nothing Chris won't do to win the game. So like this duel, like literally stand in front of you, like blocking you off from seeing like the screen, and like you can't do anything because Chris is huge, and like
Chris Jones,
you try to make any moves, like you're probably going through the wall. So
he's a competitive prick then.
He's definitely especially when there's money on the line. And
so what team are you, like when you play Madden against Chris Jones, what team's everybody?
I feel like he was the Chiefs. I usually, back then I rocked the Vikings. Couple good receivers, good running back, good defense.
Ooh. I don't play.
Sherm doesn't play video games. He did hop on Call of Duty for like a couple months though.
I was gonna say you like Call of Duty.
Yeah, I played Call of Duty. I'm not.
He sucks, but
I was a good teammate.
You suck?
No, I was a good teammate. I played one night with what was it? It was Gehrig, Pat, Kelsey, and myself, and Pat. Not Pat. Pat's good. Gehrig's really good. Kelsey and I are more the team, you know, team guys.
Right.
We'll take the shots for them.
You guys need a revival? Is that you?
You're the best.
Yes.
I would say I'm the best. Okay. Pat was always like the medic guy. Like, you need a revive. He'll be there to get you back
That's
in.
Exactly what I am when I play Fortnite with my son.
Yeah.
I'll get all the med supplies and just heal people and, you know, try not to get killed.
So it's the whole team.
Okay, you said Logan Mankins texted you. What advice would you give to any of the rookies or any of the players on the Chiefs that have never experienced the Super Bowl?
Yeah, try to knock out all your distractions, and not saying family's a distraction, but try to get all the ticket situation, who's getting what, who's flying down when, all that stuff knocked out before you get down to Arizona. And then, you know, enjoy every minute. Take it all in. Take your phone out. Take videos. You know, enjoy the moment because, like I said, you don't know when you're going to be back. Yeah, there's a strong possibility that you're back again because you have Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce and those guys on your team. But just take it in, enjoy it. As much as it might be an issue, media night and the logistics of it and being there answering questions that are – some of them are kind of ridiculous. But just answer them, have fun, enjoy it, hang out with your buddies, and enjoy the time that you get a great, great venue and you get to play in the Super Bowl. You're probably your childhood dream.
What would you say, Gehrig?
Same thing. I'd say, knock out every distraction. Like Sherm said, those ticket situations and family, who's going to the game, is probably the biggest hassle of the week. But once you get there, like you said, you got to enjoy it. You got to spend time with the boys, and that's kind of the fun time because you don't have any responsibilities other than football. You're down there with just your teammates, and that never happens for especially a whole week. So it's a fun time to get together. You don't have to worry about your own family. You're just kind of there and all hanging out. So we always had a good time, and I would say that's the one thing I remember most was everybody just kind of relaxing and enjoying themselves.
Sure, we missed you on Friday at Johnny's Tavern, but let me show you a picture here. This is incredible. This is while we're on the air. You see that I'm pointing at something, talking. Nate has a weird look on his face. And two of the waitresses were taking a picture. Like, hey, let's take a picture in front of the radio show. And then
classic.
There you
Gehrig.
See, Gehrig, always knowing where the camera is, ready to photobomb. It's very impressive, isn't it?
Yo, I love it.
He locks in.
It's impressive the ability he has to photobomb people when you don't even know he's paying attention.
I don't remember doing that, but it's
too many Trulies.
Relax, buddy.
That's hey. Did you hear about that?
I did. I heard.
I went
about
over
it.
Walked to the table. That's what he had in front of him.
I saw a picture of it.
What's this about?
Some
you know,
bush league. Somebody real bush league out there ordering Trulies and snapping a picture when I'm not looking. So I'm not gonna say any names, but
say names.
All right,
what
Nate,
happened,
Nate? I think that's bush league. I'm sitting there looking at the menu.
I ordered you a drink like a gentleman. I thought that was a nice, that was a
very
friendly
nice
gesture.
It was a very nice.
I got my daughters next to me. I'm trying to figure out what on the kids menu to get them, and then all of a sudden I turn around. Nate's got his phone out, just getting ready to.
See?
I'm like, come on, Nate. Like,
just like him going to the locker room.
He's like, don't put Nate in that moment.
I was trying to extend the right hand of friendship to you. I thought, you know, Gehrig comes all the way out here with his family. I order this man a nice, refreshing beverage. We've got evidence that his wife says that's what he enjoys. So I did try to order you a White Claw. They didn't have them, so I got you a Truly. I'm sorry. That was the best.
Did you drink any of it?
No.
You didn't take a sip.
I think Nate took it back.
I did. I drank it for him. I mean, listen,
if you ordered it, you better drink it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that's kind of rude. You know, somebody buys you a drink, you know, like a gentleman at a bar, and you just turn your nose up at it,
right?
Man.
That's exactly right. Did you know that Gehrig Dieter's appearance with Anthony Sherman on the Border Patrol brought to you by Houndstooth at 507 Walnut Street or at houndstoothkc.com. Houndstooth, old school, never old fashioned. Is he taking you down there yet, or is he's just doing this on his own?
Well, shout out to my guy, Jeff. I was just in there on a Tuesday. Just got fitted for a couple more suits. So
by Sherm.
I actually did. I feel like I said something to Sherm about getting a suit.
Yeah, he has. I just don't need one.
He's not a suit guy. No. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
They got other stuff.
I'd rather have a Milwaukee Tools than a suit, to be honest with you.
And get into the safe.
Get into safe. You know, whatever you need, I can do it over. I got a tool bag, so we can do
whatever
we need
all.
To do. I got a good buddy. Hooked me up with some stuff, so.
Maybe we need to get like a heavy tool company to sponsor this segment as well. You know, so you get your tools, you get your suits. Everybody's in a good spot.
Is that what? We're talking about endorsements here. Mm-hmm. What type of
Milwaukee?
Okay,
Milwaukee.
But anything else? Like what type of sponsor would we looking for? This guy, he's got suits. He's got houndstooth. Like what's something you're passionate about, Anthony? People are listening.
Maybe he needs to be the spokesman for Bull Creek. You know.
Bull Creek. My name is
right,
on that.
Yep,
Bull
right.
Creek Distillery. I think if we made a phone call, they might answer.
Yeah.
You know, we got the hunting companies.
See.
You know.
What about? I feel like you have a better idea. Like, what do you when you think Anthony Sherman? What do you think?
Oh, it could be a boot barn or.
Sausage.
What's the other one? Up north.
I've already told you, Shemaker's Italian Sausage is very interested in working with you.
Yeah, give me a call.
Give me a call. You could be the sausage king of Kansas City.
I have had a nice box sent to me
KC.
By them. It was delicious.
They love you, Gehrig. When I say Anthony Sherman, what pops in your mind? What do you think? Be honest.
It's a good question.
Where's a fastball down the middle, man? What are you gonna do with it?
I just thinking like Kurt Angle. Maybe Kurt Angle can sponsor us.
Kurt Angle.
You think the United States of America, USA.
United States, he's got a tattoo on a Kurt Angle.
I am in the market for another tattoo, too. So
am I.
What are we getting?
I got six. I need number seven to make things right.
You want to go together?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's figure out a place to go.
You tell me.
I don't know.
I go to Illustrated Man or North Oak, but I'm open.
No, I don't. I don't have a place. Okay, my place is in Providence, in Rhode Island.
We'll take care of that.
Nate, do you have any tattoos?
I don't have any tats. You?
Nope.
Okay, let's all go get a tattoo. That's how we
the
bond.
Four of us.
Or
that's
a tattoo
how we bond.
Guy that runs or, it out of his living room.
Nope, I'm all set there. Don't invite me.
Going to anyone's living room
no.
to get a tattoo.
Marco,
Anthony.
That's something you would do, though. I can see, look at his little grin.
There's some things I will go to someone's living room for. Right. A tattoo's not one of them.
Yeah, but Marco says the price is right.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. And so the hospital building. All right. All right. So and then
staff infection.
You
know,
guys,
whatever.
I'm not going to ask any. We'll wait till next week for predictions. But you'll be back here on Thursday.
If you want me back,
no,
I'm here.
Need,
come
we
on
need
now.
You back. And who knows, maybe we'll get out there. We had such a great turnout. That was a great turnout.
It was a good one.
And there's good people coming up and talking to Gary Dieter and talking to Nate. A lot of good people that came out to watch us. Maybe we'll get back out to a Johnny's Tavern or do something.
Or maybe
a
Bull Creek.
Go to Bull Creek and just be swimming in whiskey. I'd love that. That's Gary Dieter and the Sausage Anthony Sherman back after this on WHB.